The regime in North Korea has only one ally, China, and the reaction there to the reported execution of Chung Sung-taek was muted. A foreign ministry spokesman said it was an internal matter. But the Chinese spokesman also emphasized the need for stability. Jonathan Pollock is director of the China Center at the Brookings Institution. An internal matter? That sounds kind of neutral. What do you make of Beijing's reaction to this?
That's a kind of a standard phrase that the Chinese use when they don't want to discuss another country's internal politics. And that in particular focuses on a state like North Korea, about which they disclose remarkably little. But I think that there is deep disquiet in Beijing over the recent turn of events.
Right. Elaborate on that. I mean, once the microphone's off, how do you suppose the Chinese really feel?
The reality is that Jang Sung-taek was the one North Korean official who had had any kind of sustained interaction with China going back more than a few years. He was the one well-traveled North Korean official, by North Korean standards, rather cosmopolitan in terms of where he had been, including, I might note, a trip to South Korea some years ago. And he was the official who was designated in the lead role on these zones that are trying to be created along the China-North Korea border. So the Chinese, in essence, have lost the one very senior official who they believe could have been their principal point of contact into the regime. One of the other individuals who also purportedly has been executed was someone also involved with activities in China. So for China's point of view, for their reasoning, for their calculations about what they have been trying to achieve with North Korea, they have failed one more time.
So an important link sounds like two important links gone for China connected to Pyongyang. How's that going to affect things going forward now?
Well, the Chinese are caught in a very difficult circumstance. Privately and sometimes overtly, you get the distinct impression that there is really no one in China, or few in China, I should say, who really have much interest in or knowledge of North Korea. It's a burden. It's not an asset. The historical relationship is greatly attenuated. North Korea's significance for China is more its ability to constrain China and to impede other kinds of goals that China has in Northeast Asia. So what they want from North Korea and have never been able to achieve is what I'll simply call a normal state-to-state relationship, one that is attentive to Chinese interests, one where there are few, if any, surprises in terms of North Korean behavior, and most important, where North Korea restrains its behavior, especially externally.
Jonathan, as for North Korea's behavior, does China have any red lines when it comes to that?
Well, that's an excellent question. And I don't know that we have a clear answer to that, because the Chinese have insisted in some of their public comments and some of their interactions with the North Korean leaders when they've had them. And please understand that they have yet to have any kind of a meeting with Kim Jong-un, but that the expectation at a minimum is that North Korea will not undertake actions that draw China in yet again closer to major security tensions on the peninsula. But whether or not North Korea is prepared to accommodate to that kind of a reality is, I think, very, very much an open question. Again, the Chinese insist, as does the United States, that they will never accept or approve of North Korea's nuclear weapons capabilities, to give it a good example. But they exist. We know that. So this is a regime that makes its own decisions in Pyongyang. They've done this time and again. They beg, borrow, and steal from the international community for their own purposes. But there is little or no felt obligation to accommodate to the needs of others as a consequence. It's a very, very sorry record, and it's one, I might say, that over a very long period of time is for China is unblemished by success.
Jonathan Pollock at the Brookings Institution, thank you.
Thank you.